At Sports Volt Podcast, I'm Jay. I got my man B right here. We're going to talk about all the hot sports topics. So much to discuss today. Sunday afternoon, Sports Volt Podcast. What's up, B?
Not much, man. We got a lot to talk about, man. Last night's fights was crazy. UFC 241, we had the main event, Daniel Cormier versus Siptik Miocic, 2 rematch, and then we had Anthony Pettis and Nate Diaz, man. A couple under scorecards, good fights, man. But yeah, first we want to start with the main event. Boys went round 4. It was crazy, man. What you you catch the fight or anything like that?
Yeah, I seen Nate Diaz. I gotta admit, first off, that I was wrong about my prediction, saying that Anthony Pettis was going to take that matchup. The 3-year layoff for Nate Diaz proved not to prove anything, any difference in this matchup. A true warrior. He even called out that the next man in line at the end of the fight. So it's the setup. It's leading into something else. It was a hell of a performance by a hell of a fighter, man. I got to give it up to Nate Diaz, man. I was wrong about that prediction, man. So I got to give it to you. You called that.
Yeah, man. He's a crazy fighter, man. I told you, man. And he said it after one of his interviews. He knew that Anthony Pettis was a good fighter, and his mentality was to come in like killer or be killed. And he got in the ring and just went straight at it, and he kept at it all 5 minutes of each 3 rounds. And it stuck through, man. He was throwing in some heavy knees. He's good on his feet, good on the ground, man. He was consistent, man. And I think he deserved the win. And for him to talk his shit and tell everybody to step their game up, man, he's telling the truth, man. He's a good fighter, and he know what the expectations are, especially from the fans.
Heavy combat situation. He definitely put on a show for the fans. The sport was missing Nate Diaz. That's what we need in this sport. He definitely made me a fan, just the way he was able to show up and perform after all that time. So Nate Diaz definitely has a new fan. We also had another matchup that we was reviewing when the last time we was on this podcast talking with McCormier taking on Miocic. And a man came out, like I said, he came out with revenge on his mind, and he got the job done. So, I think it's setting up for a rubber match, a part 3. We got to have the tiebreaker, man. What you think about the tiebreaker situation? I mean, what's the prediction?
They definitely going to have to do a third matchup. It's crazy, man, because they both ended the same, but just the other person won this time. Just a good, like, strong hit that just stumbles the other one, and they just start, like, wailing on their face, man. It's crazy, and it just goes to show, man. It's just like anybody can win at any time, man.
Keep your head on a swivel, you know, protect yourself at all times, man. But yeah, definitely that UFC matchup this weekend was heavy on everybody's radar, and they definitely did show up and they performed, they showed out. But now we got to see what that rubber match is going to be like, man. So, you know, that's definitely the next setup.
Sports Volt Podcast.
At Sports Volt Podcast, Jay Reed in the building. Got my man B.
Let's go.
This next topic, man, has been on my mind for a few days now.
Interesting one.
This Jay-Z Roc Nation NFL merger. We got Hov linking up with Roger Goodell for an epic collaboration, man. It's a lot of people that's mad about this collaboration. It's big money involved. We got big business involved, man. But you know, it's feelings involved. What you think about this collaboration, man? How you feel about that?
It's a tough one to perceive for the moment. It's either you could look at it two ways. Me personally, I feel like maybe one, he's betraying Kaepernick and just looking out for himself and just trying to put money in his pocket, or maybe he's actually looking out for Kaepernick and looking to work with Goodell and hopefully looking to make a good, like, positive projections for the NFL, for the players, for their voices, for their opinions. I think this is one of those situations only time could tell. I know there's a lot being said right now, but I think maybe after this NFL season, we'll have a better understanding of what Jay-Z's his motives are and what he wants to do with this deal. So I think just got to give it time.
Absolutely. That was at the forefront of my mind, is we do got to give this time to see what this man has up his sleeve. Jay-Z is always has a plan, always has a game plan. I just don't get the backlash on why people feel he should have consulted with Colin Kaepernick or anybody else before signing a deal. The first thing he did once he signed the deal is he expressed interest in NFL ownership. So this man has obviously want to be an owner of an NFL team. And wouldn't that be the doorway to open to get Colin Kaepernick back on the field to where we all want to see him back on the field, holding it down the way he's supposed to and you know, being an employed quarterback the way where it's supposed to be?
Yeah, I think Jay-Z is definitely proven time after time that he's just a really good businessman. He's built his company from the ground up, definitely with Rockefeller. We've seen how that's evolved. He's now actually a co-owner of the Brooklyn Nets. He has title going on. I mean, the man is just... He's a business tycoon, and people are kind of like overlooking it, and they're kind of seeing the face front of the issue about just Cap being under like Roc Nation and Jay-Z making his deal just kind of looks like it's not really benefiting his own employees. But it's like I said, man, I just got to give it time. I can't set in on what I feel about it.
Yeah, we definitely got to give it time. I saw Nessa took to social media to defend Colin Kaepernick. A lot of people had comparisons with him taking his deal for the collusion from the NFL. They want to compare that deal to his Jay-Z's merger with the NFL. So she was quick to take to social media to make sure that we all know the difference. But at the end of the day, you know, Jay-Z, he's a businessman. He's going to make a smart decision. To put people on the map, to put people in employed situations. So we just, like you said, man, we got to sit back. We got to wait to see where this plays out. But, you know, I definitely want to make sure that Colin Kaepernick, you know, with the Roc Nation collaboration with Jay-Z, that stays on track, because we definitely need the you know, the injustice, the message that Colin Kaepernick is trying to represent, which is the injustice. I think we look past that a lot. And getting with the money talk and the feelings involved and who should have asked whose permission before making any kind of deals. But at the end of the day, let's not forget about the injustice that Colin Kaepernick first started his kneeling to do to bring that light on the situation. And, you know, whatever Jay-Z does, I hope that he continues to make that high priority to, you know, make sure that, you know, more black coaches is employed. So I'm actually excited about this collaboration, and I think it's a good thing, because this is big for the culture.
So what you think about, like, Jay-Z saying that we're moving past the whole kneeling situation? Like, what's...
I mean, it's time to move on. We gotta figure out a different route to protest. That way it was recognized. Was any changes realistically made because of that? I don't know. It seems like, you know, a man was blackballed out the league. Eric Reed, who's a heavy partner of Colin Kaepernick, he's still employed, I believe, with the Carolina Panthers. So he's still in a position where he can represent the cause. But I think we should, you know, figure out a different approach to this besides the kneeling on the field. I think that the voices could be bigger on a different platform. You know, they just going to have to put their heads together and figure out what that approach is, what that route is.
Did you hear what Cap said to that about the whole moving past the knee?
I mean, Colin Kaepernick is going to, he's a bold man, you know what I mean? So
they haven't moved past anything.
Yeah, I'm sure, but we don't want to misconstrue the issue. We're not moving past the injustice. We're moving past the kneeling to get our point across. Let's figure out a different route. I think he feels like we're trying to move past the whole injustice. So I understand both sides of the fence here, but only time will tell what's brought to the future. You know, this you know Jay-Z being on board with the NFL is a big platform, is a big voice for us. So we got to see what pieces he puts together And Colin Kaepernick, I know he's not going to move past the kneeling. If Jay-Z is an owner of a team, I'm sure that Colin Kaepernick will be involved, and I'm sure he won't have a problem kneeling and you know, for the cause, because it's still on everybody's mind.
Yeah, man, that's a good point, man. I could dig it.
Sports Vault Podcast.
Sports Vault Podcast. Now we're going to switch gears, talk about some NBA news. I got it. My heart breaks for my man, DeMarcus Cousins. ACL injury, sidelining him for the entire upcoming NBA season. Fresh off an Achilles tear, fresh off a quadricep injury. This is three major injuries in a row within a two-year span. I think my man, DeMarcus Cousins, has lost about $150 to $200 million worth of contract money. He was due for the Supermax deal. He was an all-NBA player 4 years in a row. He was due for a max contract. Now he's sidelined for the upcoming season, forcing the Lakers to make adjustments to their starting lineup. Anthony Davis is now going to be the full-time center. And they're thinking about bringing in Dwight Howard, former Los Angeles Lakers, as a backup or an insurance plan for Anthony Davis to replace the production of DeMarcus Cousins.
Can pick him up?
I mean, right now they're working him out. He seems to be the number one priority to bring in to back up DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, I can't help but to think about my man in these injuries that has occurred. Similar to Isaiah Thomas, right before you get a big-time deal where injury will set you back, man. But, you know, I think he's still going to, you know, make a recovery. I think he's going to recover to be, and I hate to say this, I hate to say this, but I think DeMarcus Cousins, he's going to recover to be a rotation player. And, you know, unless he finds a team willing to take a chance on him, I don't know, it's not looking too good. But the Lakers, it could be a blessing in disguise, man. What you think about the Lakers making this this championship run this year without DeMarcus Cousins?
You know, DeMarcus Cousins is one of those players that could give you like 10 points, 10 boards. He can even give you like 15, 10, 20, 10 on a good game, 20, 20 on an amazing night. There's no doubt that he's a superstar. It sucks to see, man, like that type of player just go down like that, man, and knowing just how big of an asset he is to a team. It makes sense why they would pick Dwight Howard up. It doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, you can't just kind of, like, have that big hole in a game. I felt like a lot of their depth relied on DeMarcus Cousins to play, especially throughout the seasons. But Dwight Howard, I think he's a good pickup, especially with him being, like, one of the last star to knock out LeBron from the playoffs. Way back when, I forget what year it was, but I think maybe I think it'll be good for the Lakers to have Dwight Howard there and him to just kind of fall back and let LeBron just take the wheel. I think it'll be good for him.
I definitely think it's good. I hate to say this, man, but I think Anthony Davis, the space he needs on the floor, he's better off without DeMarcus Cousins on the floor at the same time. DeMarcus Cousins was going to come off the bench as a backup. But now there's no confusion because Dwight Howard is definitely a role player, so he's going to be coming off the bench. I expect big things from Anthony Davis this year. I mean, 27, 28 points a game, 12 rebounds, all NBA performance. Him and LeBron, you know, health is a big issue with Anthony Davis himself. So we're going to have to see if he can stay healthy. That's the big key to this season is can they stay healthy, man. But, you know, that's why a lot of players are pulling out of the Summer Olympics because they're trying to make sure that they're healthy for this upcoming season. I do think that the players that have decided to play, you know, they're going to keep their bodies in rhythm and in good shape. I know Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are on the Olympic team, and I know that's big for their chemistry with the Boston Celtics. But, yeah, injuries are real, man. You definitely got to, you know, take the time to let your body recover.
Yeah, man, you can see just, like, that whole, like, Warriors team, man, when they got injured, man, they had some big heavy hits, especially in the finals. Losing Klay, losing Kevin Durant, and just what ramifies after those injuries, man. you see the Lakers, they had a, now looking to draft and somebody else was a replacement. Golden State Warriors, man, a couple months ago, you would have picked them winning the next three championships. But now Kevin Durant's out. DeMarcus Cousins left. Klay Thompson's injured. I mean, you know they're not at 100%, but then you see the Nets. They got opportunity, but then they fall back due to injuries, and now the Lakers. And it's just injuries are serious, man, and you got to definitely take them serious, because if not, they could definitely, like you said, make you lose out a lot of money and a lot of opportunity.
Yeah, that's definitely going to have a big effect on the season. We'll see how it goes. But, you know, speaking of a Laker greats, Kobe Bryant, Dancing with the Stars.
No way.
I mean, I heard my man is signing up, Dancing with the Stars. I believe it's true. It looks like he's gonna, you know, Twitter thinks that he's joining Dancing with the Stars. This 28th season that's coming up, I'm sure they would love to have a man like Kobe Bryant, you know, who's an all-time great athlete, not just an all-time great NBA player, but an all-time great athlete. Man, it's good to see Kobe out here still having a positive, inspiring influence on the youth. And I don't really see nothing wrong with it. I just hope my man doesn't embarrass himself. I don't want to see him get out there and break or sprain nothing. But I'm sure my man Kobe's going to go out there and do his thing. And he's a performer. So a performance athlete like that is just going, it's just a different stage for him to step up and do his thing. And don't be surprised if he wins it, or at least in the top three.
I wouldn't doubt him to be a top three or even a winner. And I think it's just because, as he would say, that Mamba mentality, which he just carries with everything he does, and which is he's just diligent, he's disciplined, and he just works hard. And I think that's probably one of my favorite aspects of Kobe. He uses that he has just great work ethic that he just applies to everything, not even just his basketball, but even to like his film work, or even how he just studies the game of basketball. I think dancing is just another level of opportunity for the world to see this great mentality at work. So yeah, I'm interested to see Dancing with the Stars with Kobe.
This might actually be one of the first seasons I ever take a look at Dancing with the Stars. I'm not really a real big fan, but I'm definitely going to make sure that we keep track of Kobe and what he's doing, all things sports, on At Sports Vault Podcast. Jay, B, we got all kinds of sports topics still to discuss on today's podcast, man. So we're going to get right into it. Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury rematch set for February 22nd. This man's been talking real reckless out here, saying he was robbed, you know. So we're going to see what this rematch looked like. I don't think it's going to look too much different than the first one. I think this one is definitely going to end up with the same sort of outcome. We're going to have a fight that's a little dry, and I think we're going to have another decision.
Man, I can't wait, man. Those are two big guys who know how to box and who just live for the sport, and I love it, man. And the trash talk, Tyson Fury, man, if he's talking that crazy, man, as long as he's backing it up, man, that's all I want to see, man. I'm here for the sport. I'm here for the entertainment. Those are two guys who definitely want the belt, want to keep the belt, and just be recognized as the best boxer in that weight class. So, yeah, man, there's a lot of good fighters in that class, and I can't wait for it. Yeah, I could definitely see that fight happening again.
Yeah, the much-anticipated Tyson Fury Deontay Wilder rematch is scheduled to take place February 22nd, 2020 in Las Vegas. Yes. Fury made the announcement on ESPN. So the rematch is already set in stone, so it's going down. Before they step into the ring, both men do have to take care of some other business. They got other fights to handle in Las Vegas. So, you know, we're going to see what happens, you know, with these matchups. I definitely hope that both of them is able to take care of their business so we can see that the matchup we want to see. You know, that's what boxing fans definitely want to see. We want to see the fights. We want to see when we want to see it. And that's one of them. It's a lot of them, but that's definitely at the top of the list. Also, man, we got Tiger Woods. You know, he took a little bow out today. Even par 72 at the BMW Championship. He was in hopes of defending his title at the Tour Championship. But the 43-year-old, you know, he evened out at a 72 in round 4 of the BMW Championship to finish outside of the top 30. So what you think about that, man, Tiger Woods? You know, still going strong, but this didn't work out too well for him.
It's, I don't know, man. Tiger's one of my favorite, like, all-time athletes, man. I mean, besides the controversy, he's just really good at the sport. For him to make this comeback, I'm not surprised, to be honest, because I don't expect him to be the best. I mean, I know a lot, like, things are different now. He has a whole different understanding of the game, but I don't know, man, if his alpha side life may have some influences. I'm not too sure. I'm not following Tiger, but I know he's a good player. I don't really know too much about what's going on with him.
Yeah, he's definitely an icon in the sport, and we'll see what's up next for him. He's supposed to be the captain of the American President's Cup team headed to Australia, so he's definitely not done. He's making a little bit of noise after his last big win, but you know, Tiger's definitely not done, but we'll see what he does with this next situation he has coming up. So also, man, we got Antonio Brown still trying to decide whether he's all in with the Raiders with this helmet situation, man. It seems to be a ongoing thing with this star receiver. We just want to see this man back on the field. I mean, is the helmet situation going to keep Antonio Brown off the field for week one? That's the real big question here, but it seems like the Raiders coaching staff, some of his teammates are starting to question his attitude and his desire to be on the field.
I think last time we were on here talking about Antonio Brown, I kind of felt like I had a negative impact, but I watched some more of him, and you know, he is a good person, man. I don't think Antonio Brown has much of a negative influence. I think he just wants to perform. He wants to entertain. He wants to give the people a show. He wants to bring, like, the love back into football. With a lot of other things going on, just kind of deflating the game. He just wants to bring it back to the old school backyard, man. Just, like, let's see how crazy you could catch this football. So just incredible talent at that high level game. So I think, and he's just saying he performs better with this level of helmet. He doesn't feel like maybe his head is at risk because of how well he can perform it and avoid the contact with this helmet. So it's an interesting fact, man. But I mean, I don't know if it's a fact. It's an interesting theory, but I don't know. It's good to see.
You know, the coaches is going to say all the right things. Mayock, you know, he's definitely coming out in support of Antonio Brown. John Gruden's been supporting Antonio Brown, so they want to make sure that they keep that level, that eye-to-eye relationship, because they believe that he's going to be back on the field, and that's the main thing. But, you know, training camp is tough. He is a Pro Bowl receiver dealing with frostbitten feet due to cryotherapy chambers, you know, but that just goes to show you his workouts is different. His regimen is unique. And now he has to show up on the field, and he has to perform at the level that we always expect him to perform at. You know, setting the example for off the field, for other players like Ezekiel Elliott, who just can't, you know, seem to stay out of trouble. You know, I'm reading about this new incident right here with this man in trouble in Las Vegas. You know, in the midst of him holding out, trying to get a contract, he seemed to can't keep himself out of trouble. More trouble for Ezekiel Elliott in Las Vegas, man. I don't know. What you think about this man? You know, just can't seem to keep himself out of trouble.
Wait, so what happened in Las Vegas? Like, you got more? What's going on with that?
Yeah, with this Las Vegas incident, you know, we're looking into more information. You know, it's always going to be a little bit sketchy. We waiting for all these details to come out, you know, with
is
this
it
incident.
A girl?
You know, he won't face any criminal charges over the altercation. It's with a security guard at a Las Vegas music festival. You know, they decided not to move forward with the case, but you know, just being in this kind of limelight with this kind of, you know, this negative publicity. He was placed in handcuffs after pushing the guard, a 19-year-old. You know, so, you know, we're going to see how this plays out. I mean, it's a lot of distractions early on in the season. I know the Cowboys ain't too happy about that.
Man, he's young, man. He's acting out. I think maybe the influences around him aren't the best, but he's acting a bit ridiculous right now. He has to take his future into consideration, his career into consideration. Man, he doesn't have to be out partying and doing all this wild lifestyle. Like, at this point, he's a grown man. He's looked at as a grown man. And he has talent that, you know, like, he's basically being paid for, and they're offering money, and they're saying, like, listen, man, like, we want you to play. We want you to be a part of this team. And I guess he wants more money, but, I mean,
he wants more money. I mean, he's trying to break the bank. I mean, he's trying to set the precedent for the market for what running backs should get. You would think that if you're trying to, you know, break, you know, set the mark or the criteria for, you know, running backs going forward. But like you said, he is young. Money doesn't grow you up. So we're going to have to see if somebody can get inside this man's ear and, you know, let him know something positive so, you know, he can turn things around for himself, because right now it's not looking too good. You know, he's a high-level performer, so that they're always going to make exceptions for him. You know, as long as he's on the field performing, you know, they definitely going to make those type of, you know, those type of exceptions. On a different note, running back Cedric Benson died Saturday in a motorcycle crash. His lawyers have confirmed it. He was 36 years old. He was on a motorcycle with an unnamed woman, and they were hit by a minivan. That's definitely tragic. Such a young age. I know his NFL career was at a standstill point at this moment. But you know that takes a back end. You know, so definitely rest in peace to Cedric Benson, you know, and his family members. Definitely got the, you know, the highest level of condolences, man. But, you know, he was a heck of a player. You know, he made it to that level, made his dreams come true. You know, definitely still going to be an inspiration. So I know that the Cincinnati Bengals, they're going to do something to honor him. I know the state of Texas is going to do something to honor him. But, you know, life is short. You know, you got to take advantage of every day that we got.
Yeah, man, definitely the take some time out to give some condolences to the Benson family. Yeah, man, it's tough to hear. Me personally, I don't trust two wheels. I'll tell you right now, Jay, I don't trust two wheels, man. It's a little risky, and out here when it's coming to, like, driving, you got to take care of yourself. But even if you're on point of your game, it's always about the next driver that could cause you an accident, man. So, I hope this, you know what I mean, definitely raise awareness to these drivers to be aware about, like, just about other drivers, man. Like, not to say he wasn't, was they saying he wasn't speeding, was he? Or, like, what, they got much detail on that?
I mean, the details right now are definitely still a little sketchy right now. You know, another unnamed woman was involved, you know, so we definitely want to make sure that, you know, prayers goes out to all families involved. It's definitely a situation that opens up your eyes to, you know, things that are a little bit bigger than sports when somebody at that age loses their life so tragically and unexpected. I know that was definitely unexpected. But we got the NBA, you know, to lighten up the vibe. We got the NBA season, you know, on its way. You know, we got another 2 months before we can really start getting excited about the the upcoming season. But, you know, Tony Parker is going to have his number 9 retired on November 11th, you know, at the start of the season. Tony Parker, definitely a Hall of Fame point guard, championship player for the San Antonio Spurs. You know, he was selected number 28 overall in the 2001 draft, you know, had a 17-season career with the Spurs. Averaged 15.8 points, 5.7 assists, and 2.8 rebounds per game. 6 All-Star game selections. So he's going to have that number 9 retired. Think Tony Parker's a Hall of Fame player?
Yeah, absolutely. And given, I think, Tony Parker's career wouldn't be what it would be without the guys around him. I mean, being around Pop, Ginobili, Tim Duncan, did he get there with Robinson in time? Or, like, did they get a play? I think Robinson had left by that time, right? But, yeah, man, it's he definitely deserves it. He's a Hall of Famer, and it goes credit to that whole, like, core, those group of guys, man. They deserve it, man.
Yeah, they definitely deserve it. I mean, you know, he had a big contribution to the French Olympic team. So I definitely think that his place in history is solidified. So they're going to retire his number. He won a championship with Kawhi Leonard. So I know that you know, he helped in aiding that man to getting to where he's at right now, giving him that championship pedigree. So, you know, we definitely going to miss Tony Parker walking away from the game. They definitely deserves that honor, number 9 for the Spurs. You know, they're going to have heavy competition with the Clippers, who have a new broadcaster, Chauncey Billups, who has stepped down from his role with the NBA Countdown broadcast team to do his thing now as a Clippers broadcast role. I mean, LA's on fire right now. You know, that seems to be the hot job. Everybody wants to be involved with the Clippers, man. What you think about that?
I think it's just the city of LA, man. It's just people just want, it's just a good place to be right now, man. Those, like I said, the 4 All-Stars, man, AD, LeBron, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, man, just 4 guys right there, man. Holmes Court is in the same building. It's ridiculous. I think every night's going to be eventful. I think a lot of people just want to be a part of that process and just witnessing it all, and I think that's why Chauncey's moving over there. I don't think it was a bad move for him to leave the Countdown. I think it was just him just wanting to witness greatness and just love what he loves, which is the game of basketball. So
yeah, absolutely, and he's still going to be involved with ESPN. So we're still going to get to see our man Chauncey Billups do his thing. Definitely, you're going to get to see us do our thing. Thanks for listening to another edition of Sports Vault Podcast. I'm Jay Reed. I had my man B in the building. Of course, you need to be following all the podcast episodes at Sports Vault Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And make sure you follow us on all the platforms that we can be found on: Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and of course, Anchor.fm. Sports Vault Podcast, @SportsVault Podcast. Thanks for another edition.